Welcome back to Switch to Linux. Today we are going to have a look at the release candidate for GIMP 3.0. This is an exciting release, a lot of things done under the hood for developers, improvements to APIs, color management, and things like this. But we also have layer effects, which are like Photoshop's layer properties. And effectively, this means non-destructive edits. So we'll get into those and we'll look at maybe some pros and some cons to this. Before we get into it, just a few highlights on the post. And I'm going to put the release information down below so you can have a look at it yourself. If you want to test this out on Linux, you're going to need to install the nightly repo for Flatpak. So basically just a separate Flatpak repository, and then you can install the beta version of GIMP. You cannot run them side by side on the same computer, but you can run them separately on the same computer. That's what we're doing here for my test. For this test, I'm using my production backup laptop. So this is running the latest version of Linux Mint. There's a few updates needed, but for the most part, it is up to date and current with the current Linux Mint. And I just went ahead and installed it here. And we are going to have a look at how this looks with just backwards compatibility. I pulled in the latest book release that I have down here. So we're going to have a look at it. Of course, that's the Code Red book. And all of that is done on GIMP. Now, before we get into there and before we jump into this, I did want to do a little bit of a maybe a show and tell or something as we talk about the color spaces. These are greatly improved, and they brought in a color expert, Ellie Stone, to have a look at the color profiles and things like that inside of GIMP itself. And so in light of this, they were trying to get the best, most accurate colors as possible. Now, there is still a slight limitation with GIMP, and that is that out of the box, when you're doing the full design, you do not have the CMYK color profiles available. I'll show you that. It's not that it doesn't support them, as if you're doing a TIFF export, for example, you can export with CMYK colors instead of RGB colors, which is important because TIFFs are usually how you would export something for printing. Now, in the old days, whether your color space was RGB or it was CMYK made a big deal. In modern computers and implementation and modern printing, it is not nearly as big of a deal as you may think. I know the pure print market, like, it's got to be CMYK. And to understand the difference, RGB is what you use when you are having an emission of color. So a screen is emitting the light out, and it emits light out in variations of the red, green, blue. So the RGB color profiles to match the colors. But when you are looking at something and you are holding it in your hand and you're looking at it, you don't go with what is emitted, you go with what is reflected, which is slightly different color profiles. The fact of the matter is, modern technology, it does not matter which one you're doing for most applications. I have used GIMP to do TIFF files for mass mailings for clients, and they don't even know I'm not using Photoshop. Doesn't show at all. Everything works out perfectly and every time. In the book industry, we don't actually use TIFFs. So if I could export something with perfect CMYK exported in TIFF, it doesn't matter because none of the printers that print books actually care about a TIFF. They want PDFs. But just to kind of show you that it didn't really matter all that much, I did bring with me a variety of book covers, and I wanted to show you that it really doesn't matter. So before we jump on over onto the screen, I want to show you those. So this is Code Red, and it is all done. The cover design of this is all done in GIMP, and it looks exactly like how it looked when I designed it. So it's not like, oh, the color is shifted a little bit. Old days, that might be the case because of modern printing. We also have a Happy Holidays. This guy was also done. This was done with a combination of Blender and GIMP. So of course we did the Blender render exporting images. It's all done in 3D art there, but then we took the images, put them into GIMP to finalize the snow around there and the text and things like that. So again, it looks perfectly fine. This one here is just a composite of two photos that I took on my various travels, blending them together. Again, it is looks exactly identical. This book here, done in GIMP, exactly identical. If I were to scan this in fact, I've done that before. The color profiles are still exactly the same, done in GIMP, exported as a PDF, printed on real just as fine. I'm going to save those three books for last. Synaptergy, we've talked about this one. Again, all designed on GIMP, combination of image assets, actual photographs, and again, it printed out perfectly fine. So, you know, the CMYK export is not nearly as important as some may lead you to believe. Now, I did want to show you these three books separately. These are the three books in the same series. And what you might notice, here's the difference here, if my thing will actually autofocus, you will notice that that middle book does have a slightly different coloration to it. And these are, and I also want to bring it up because in RGB, you might have more issues with black. So here's those three again. And what we see in here is there is a slight variation. The difference on these is actually the book printer. The first book, which is very solidly black, and the last book, very solidly black, these are printed on Ingram's printers. And Ingram has been the company that has published or printed most books in the United States anyway. This one here, which has a little bit softer colors, not quite as nice in coloration, this is actually done on an old KDP printer. Now, this book is now 6 years old. Modern KDP printers, which are the Amazon ones, are just as good as the Ingram. In fact, in some cases, the modern color profiles are actually better on Amazon than they are on Ingram in many instances. So just to point out that it is not GIMP that might make a color profile look good or bad. It is actually the printer you're printing it on, because this is kind of the way our world goes. And I do have a note here to make sure I show you that CMYK export on a TIFF. So we will get into that. And I do have, I did find there is a kind of a major bug in the new layer properties as well. So hopefully that gets fixed. But I did want to talk about that color, the color space work. They did a lot of API stuff that was just improving how the APIs work and releasing that in advance so that developers of plugins can get their plugins ready for the 3.0. And for this though, we want to jump on over to the computer. And what we're going to do is boot up the GIMP, and we're going to boot up the beta version of GIMP. And as we boot this guy up, what we're going to find is there is the new image there, of course. And then here is our welcome screen. These are the recent images we have been testing with. There's a welcome. Here's your personalization. So if you want to make some adjustments to how big or small the screen is, you can do that. So you can easily increase the size of that if you need to, or you can roll it back down. Oop, let me go ahead and put that back down at 100. 99, close enough. We'll keep it with that. And let's see, we can choose our color scheme as well. Here's your contributors. Here's the release notes. And these are the factors. Now, one of the things they did mention is initially when they released these is that there was a problem with the animator, like the designers, the developers, too much motion. So it is going to check on boot up. If you have set a low motion on your operating system, it will respect that. So that's good. So you can show this dialog box at the welcome, or you can turn it off, and you can turn it back on again later if you want to. So what I want to actually show you first is some backwards compatibility. So this is the front cover of the Code Red book, of course, all done in GIMP. And as we had this book, there obviously was a little bit of finagling sometimes you need to do to different layers. So you can see here this layer 5 there. This is your border outline around our text. And then you can see that there's a lot of different layers involved just to get the text exactly the way we wanted to get it. In the new version of GIMP, in theory, the single layers, you can do some non-destructive layer effects onto these. And so you can see over here on the right side of the screen at the bottom, under our layers panel, we have our FX panel down here. This is actually new. This is added in and will allow you to show or hide, manipulate, move, or edit any of the non-destructive edits onto your text. So that is a new column that in theory we should be able to, instead of adding extra layers for things like the the stroke around the text, which was honestly a little at times hard to pull off, than now you have the easy ability to do it without even having an extra layer. So it is fully backwards compatible. I am noticing that everything does seem as smooth. So if I were to import in an image, then I could use it. Now, going from here backwards, not as much. I guess forward compatibility. I've been saying backwards compatibility. Maybe forwards compatibility is the better word to use. Because GIMP has routinely had a problem. You couldn't go from 3.10 to 3.8. It just wouldn't work well. And so, or at all. And so we can still, as they illustrate in their documentation, you can still take the original Google logo, which was created in a very early version of GIMP, and you can still load it in this and it looks perfectly as far as color profiles are concerned. Let's go ahead and have a look though at discard that one, and let's see if we can do an open recent, and I'm going to open up my thumbnail base. Of course, this is my thumbnail base that I use for most of my text, and we're going to come over here and let's enter some testing text. So, of course, the old way, let's first talk about how you would get a stroke done before, because this is something I've been adding in. It helps the readability. Let's go back to the font I usually use, which is this one here, and then you can make it bold or not bold. So in the old ways to do a stroke, now, this is not something added in GIMP 3. This was added later in GIMP 2.10, but prior to that, what you'd have to do is you would have to start by texting the path, and then you have to create a new layer, which I can do just with the shift control N, set that layer as transparency, move that layer down below, control V to set the path that we had to the selection, and then we'd have to go over here under our select, and we have to grow. We have to choose how much we want to grow this by. Let's say 10. That's too much, but this is just illustrative, just examples. So let's start with the color of the channel there. Grab this, make sure we're on the new layer, and that is how we used to get a stroke. Okay. Now, you also had the option of, under your edit, you have a stroke selection, and you could pick whatever our foreground color is. You can check how wide you want your length to be. You had this as an option as well. So there were a couple of ways that you could add a stroke, but both of those added extra layers and things like that. So let's go ahead and delete that layer. And under the new way of doing things, what we actually have now is we have the ability to add, first under your drop shadow, you actually have options. Now, this is one of the problems I found on the new version. You see that all of these are cut off. I don't know why they're all cut off on these. It's got to be something related to the theming. These are not cut off on my version of GIMP that's in production right now. So whatever that happens to be worth. So under this, though, you actually have the ability to set your stroke. So we could do a glow radius as well. There's that. Let's go ahead and set this back down to, just put that down to 0. And then glow radius. So you can actually add a stroke to your text nowadays with the current versions of GIMP. That is something that is new. But what is not new is that before, that would change this. This is no longer text. This layer here, the top layer work with, is no longer text. It is now a rastered image which contains the text and that. So if I wanted to change something and come in here and go, oh, I made a spelling error, as you follow my channel, you know that's somewhat common. Now I can just make my changes and I don't have to worry about having to undo or redo all that kind of stuff. So you can see it's a lot smoother. Now this box here, we can hide all of the effect layers or individual effect layers. We can also edit the effect layer. So if I'm like, let's make that a little bit smaller, we can go ahead and do that. All super simple, very easy. Now here is the downside. Huge downside. And I hope this is a bug they're aware of. I didn't check their bug reports. Now, if I want to go and add a second layer to this, you'll notice what it does is it cuts off everything on the first layer. And it seems to be dependent on that second layer being added. So you see, if we hide that second layer, that top part comes back. So if you look right above the yellow line up there, let me see if I can zoom in here so you can see what I'm talking about a little bit better. You'll see when I apply that second layer, it cuts off everything just from the top. Actually, it looks like it cuts out everything from the old effect that's outside the original text boundary. So that kind of doesn't work right. But there's actually a solution for this. The first thing, let's go ahead and take this one. Let's delete it. We can edit this. There might be an option under here to add a second drop shadow, but there might not be. However, the new version of GIMP does have one new feature that allows you to do that. So let's go ahead and let's delete all of the effects. And now under our tools and under our filters and under our generic, we have the text styling. This one allows you to do all sorts of things all simultaneously. Once again, everything is still cut out for me. So here's the enable the outline option. So let's go back and just enable our outlines and then just choose your outline size. And then down here, there is also one for color for your shadow as well. So let's see, there's your outlines, outline colors. Here's your shadow options, so you can actually now do some form of shadows. Let's say one for the shadow outline. And now we have one single effect that can do both of these. Change our glow radius down. You can adjust your opacity. You can adjust everything that you need there. So now you have the ability in one filter to do a ton of different options. So now we actually can get the effect we were looking for using the new option instead of layering old ones on top of each other. But this does carry with it the same exact problem. If I wanted to do anything else with it, you'll notice that any effects removes any lower effects from outside of its boundary. So you'll notice that there is certainly some issues and some problems with it. So that is kind of a slight limitation. Hopefully that's a bug they're aware of, or maybe if I can, I might report some information. If you have the ability to report some information, make aware of it. That was the situation here. I didn't test the exact same result on the virtual machine version I have of this as well. I just thought I'd go ahead and test this. As far as other major changes, there are actually, let's go ahead and undo that one. There is actually a new, a couple of new effects under light and shadow. We have both bevel and inner glow. So if you were using those features a lot in Photoshop, you have those as now as options as well. It doesn't show quite as well on this, but on black text, but of course we can change the text and you can see now that we have a nice bevel and emboss effect on it. So there are certainly some benefits to the new version of GIMP. I'm really looking forward to seeing these changes. Last thing I did say I was going to show you is your color profiles. Under your image and mode, you'll see we still have RGB, grayscale, and indexed. In Photoshop, you have the extra, which is the CMYK, and you can work the whole image in CMYK. In this instance here, if I go and I hit an export at image as, and I change our extension to TIFF, T-I-F-F, and hit export, this is where you'll have the option to export as CMYK. And then you can make the other adjustments you need for that. So you do have CMYK export options inside of GIMP. If you're using, if your printing in CMYK is important for you, chances are you're using a TIFF image. And so they do have that option here. And I believe that option might have been in older versions of GIMP as well. I didn't test that in the older ones. But those are your overall changes to the system. So with that, that is what we see inside of the new version of GIMP. The biggest thing is adjusting those layer properties. Hopefully they iron out that last little bug in there, allow you to have multiple layer properties stacked without destroying what's outside of the boundary of the image on the second layer. That seems to be the biggest issue that I see here, but this is moving GIMP in a much more positive direction universally. So for that is totally awesome. And I'm looking forward to seeing what this looks like in the final release. And once it's out there, I will get it installed on my Arch system, give it a test over there. And then, of course, we'll probably get it into the Linux Mint in the next couple editions. So there is our brief look at our new version of GIMP. Let me know your thoughts about this. Are you excited about these new changes? Or it's like, not useful to you? Let me know that in the comments down below.